I guess I'm after that bit of bright and cheery news. I'm the I realize what my purpose here today is, and that's to be the unicorn or the rainbow, and let everybody walk out of here a little bit happier than they were just a few minutes ago. Awesome. Okay. Well, then I'm not here. Just keep putting it down. Okay. I'll do my best. So what I'm going to share with you a little bit is what we've been doing, and you know, I hear a lot of what my colleagues are saying, and one of the things that I hope you take away from my presentation is that I think one of the biggest things that we have to do is we have to wake up and recognize that the turf program ain't going to market itself, and the folks in the college aren't going to market the program. And it's kind of fitting that today's election day, because they talk about how politics are local. All politics are local. And we kind of adopted that, and the substance of the talk that I'm going to give is really the reflection of that work, was that we recognized, and I think in large part it's the reason why we've been successful, is that if we want our program to be successful, we're going to have to figure out a way to make it successful. If the recruiter for the college, the recruiter for the university is not going, they might talk about turf, and our recruiters do, but they don't have the passion for it the way we do, and they don't have the passion for it the way our students do. So without any further ado, I'll give you a little bit of background and history about our program over the last several years, and then talk about what we've done to do this marketing of our program, and then kind of finish up with thoughts on how you guys might be able to take some of what we've done and parlay it into your own program. So in spring of 2012, my appointment is 75% teaching, 25% research, and we started looking around in our department and realizing that we had a total enrollment of 17 students. That year we were graduating 4 or 5, so the enrollment was going down to about 10. I teach 7 classes over the course of 2 semesters, and realizing that that meant that there were going to be like 1 or 2 or 3 students in a class, which starts to run into problems with being able to teach them, and with a 75% teaching appointment, you start to have to answer questions about why you're not teaching. And so Dr. Sorokin and I, who's the other faculty member with a teaching appointment, got together and sat down and started talking about this. We brought Dr. Brosnan and Dr. Samples on board and kind of talked about it as a turf team and decided that we needed to take action. And at that same time, we had been a part of a search committee to work with our athletic department and bring in our new field manager. And we had gotten to talking with them and asking them about, well, you know, how do you guys, you know, how do you have a marketing crew? And they said, no, we have an agency that handles all that for us. And they shared who that was. And that was this group here, the Converse Group. And so we decided to go sit down with them and just kind of take a shot in the dark about what that might look like. Because it's really easy for all of us to sit in this room and conjure up things about how to market, but none of us have a marketing background, or many of us don't have a marketing background. And we felt like talking to some, you know, experts in that area that have won awards for their marketing. They do a number of public service announcements that have won several awards. That agency is the one that, if you remember, it was a couple of years ago, the drunk driving commercial where the people are driving through the streets in their drink, and then the car door opens up and the drink comes out, and they were the ones that put that ad together. So we sat down with them thinking, you know, we're going to walk into this room and have this really cool meeting at their fancy, you know, artsy design place, and then they're going to go, well, you know, for, you know, $1 million, we can put together something and we can make it work, and we'd love to have you on board as a customer. Well, that was not what happened. So we sat down and they put together a marketing strategy for us and kind of laid out what the roadmap was for it, and then told us that it was going to cost $15,000. And we went, oh. Now, whether that's what they regularly charge, I suspect not, or it had something to do with our relationship with the athletics department and the fact that they, you know, do public service announcements and there's some pro bono work that is done. I suspect that's part of the reason why the price was relatively low. It's worth investigating at local agencies to find out would they take that kind of effort on. We were amazed because we were able to raise the money from the administrative branches of our college and get some support, and then we pulled some of our own resources to do that and put up the $15,000 to see what happened. So these are just examples of some of the ads that they put in their proposal, and these are from the athletic department, obviously, to give us an idea of the kind of work and the kinds of things that they're capable of. Pretty much turnkey operation. They do television ads all the way through to print, billboard, etc. And so they kind of laid out a roadmap saying, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at a market analysis and assess what's going on in your industry. And they asked us for a number of pieces. They asked us to sit down and think about what we wanted out of the program, what would be a win, etc. And so in spring of 2013, they came to us and we had our pitch meeting. And the first thing that they said to us that was really an important thing to realize is that you need to remember who you're marketing to. You're marketing to, as we've been discussing, the millennials, and they're not us. And so if you think that it's a cool idea, they don't. Okay? So if you're like, yeah, I really like that, well, then the millennial isn't going to really like that. And they also warned us as we walked into the room, you know, we've really been, you know, sitting in the room bouncing ideas off of each other, and we've got a number of things to show you, some different campaigns. A couple of them are going to push the envelope. And we went, okay, so the grass jokes are coming, you know, pop jokes and things like that, okay. And so they had one, and I'll show you one of them that I actually really like, and it's not too out there, but they had one that was not since the 60s could you get a degree in grass. And we haven't used that one yet. It might be useful on the back of the t-shirt, but I'll show you one of the ones that I think is pretty funny, that's a little bit edgy, but not too bad. And so we settled on a strategy, the materials, and then kind of in happenstance, one of the other things that they kind of made clear to us is that, you know, in order to move on beyond this, we were going to have to kind of have some skin in the game in terms of some of the management and running of this operation. And we had an opportunity to hire a marketing and recruiting coordinator, because one of the challenges with all of this, and one of the reasons why I think it's challenging to get something like this going, is that for all of us as faculty members, we don't get credit for bringing more students in, and we don't get credit for spending time designing ads or pamphlets, or, you know, those aren't things that we can check off as, hey, this is time well spent. So what we needed to do was identify somebody that we could bring in whose job that was, so that we could come in and smile and wave and participate, if a la an extension event, but we weren't charged with the mechanics of actually getting it going. And so we hired Scott Boyle as our marketing and recruiting coordinator. And Scott is a retired Navy vet. He was a journalist and public relations officer in the Navy on a number of different ships and commands, and including Naval Special Warfare. And so he brought a background from that when the SEALs recruit, they're recruiting a very specific type of person. They're not recruiting a general Navy soldier. They're recruiting a very specific type of person. And what they care about is getting the right person and not so much a huge load of them. And so that was one of the things that we also focused on in terms of being able to recruit. So when they showed us some of the pieces that they were thinking about, this was one that really stuck with us. They came up with this tagline, careers that never stop growing, and the logo, and then showed us this here, choose a career where you can have a palm tree and a lake in your office. And they, in the fine print there, it says, forget about cramped offices, fluorescent lights, and the ever-dreaded cubicle with a career in turfgrass science. You could land a job in the landscaping, golf course management, or even as a groundskeeper on the PGA Tour. And that was just their kind of flat text. We've edited that to make it more in line with what we wanted it to say, but to learn more about this, go to turf.utk.edu. And so they showed us this and then talked about a number of different pieces that you might put this in, a pamphlet, an email, etc. All those materials were provided to us as part of that effort. This is the one that's a little bit edgier. Performance-enhancing substances are not only allowed, they're encouraged. you don't need athletic ability to have a career in professional sports. You just need to know how to get there. With a degree in turf science, you could land a job in the landscaping, golf course management, or as a groundskeeper at a big-time sports venue. So same kind of stuff, focusing on athletic fields. So we did a number of different outreach events. This was our, we had a rock on campus that everybody paints. Homecoming weekend, we decided to sod the rock. So we sodded the rock and put our TERP Twitter handle. That's our chancellor, the provost, and their information person. They stopped by during homecoming to take pictures and greet people and everything like that. We did it completely commando. We showed up at 5:30 in the morning. Somebody had just gotten done painting the rock. And we said, listen, we're going to do something to rock, but your painting will be there when we're done. And he was like, okay, yeah, that's the way it works. So we showed up. The big roll sod, the grounds department, we had coordinated with them. So they showed up with a heavy lift object to lay the big rolls over the top of the rock. We sodded the rock and did it completely, kind of a guerrilla marketing thing. That was one of the things that the Thomas Group told us was, you know, millennials like guerrilla marketing. I can't tell you how many pictures people took in front of that rock with the Twitter handle in the background. I mean, there were literally, you know, obviously as many big time programs, thousands and thousands of people and lots of young people taking pictures in front of that rock. And that was just one of those examples of a guerrilla marketing thing that we did to try to increase awareness. Because the ultimate thing that came out of our work with Converse Group was that we've all alluded to it in here. Students are playing high school sports. They're playing all year-round sports. They're not working at the local golf course. They don't have the story that you guys all have. Well, I worked at a golf course or I worked at a driving range and then I found I could do this. And I went to college. They don't have that. But those students are still there. And they made that case very vividly in their presentation was that the students are there. What you have to do is you have to become visible to them because you're currently invisible. And so whether it's on campus or it's an outreach, you have to make yourself visible. So that's been the focus of basically everything we do is try to make ourselves more visible. This was the roll-up banner idea. These are the three that we have. Choose a career where you can have a palm tree and a lake in your office. You don't need 4.4 speed to get to the end zone. And next time someone asks what's your major, tell them Major League Baseball. And those were kind of the taglines that they came up with us up for us with, and we put this into practice. So we made the roll-up signs and all of that, and we used them. Once we had the materials, we had to figure out how, okay, so we got all this stuff. This is great. We got the insight as to how to make ourselves more visible, so how do we go about doing it? So we kind of sat down as a group, as a TERP team, and said, you know, let's go after three targets. Students on campus, and we talked about that a little bit and alluded to that. That's been one of our major targets is the undecided population on campus that, according to our market research, they say they're there, and you just have to make yourself visible. Well, we've done that. So we do things to attract students on campus. We also target high school students in the local community that are the major feeder program into the UT student population. So that's another big piece is the local integration with the students that typically come to UT. We're trying to attract them and identify and make ourselves visible that, hey, we're a viable program that you might be interested in. And then on a younger student level, down into the middle school level, we start just trying to focus on the idea of, you know, hey, this is a science career. It's not an ag career necessarily. We focus on the idea that there's science and there's math and there's things in there that if you like being outside and you like playing sports, this is a way to stay close to that as you get older and have a career. We found that our own students often do the best advertising. One of the things that we've made a real significant effort at is really making clear in all of our extension presentations, when it comes up, when somebody asks, well, where are the students, or, you know, how come you guys don't have, or do you have any students, or whatever, we talk about, well, you know, the industry needs to do a better job of turning people away, because we've had lots and lots of superintendents, but you don't want to get this job. It's too hard. Don't do it. It's hard. It's going to be really hard. You're going to have to work. You know? And it's not... you know, we had a thing at our TERP conference that was a bent grass versus Bermuda grass, you know, court session. And one of the things that the Bermuda grass folks talked about was being able to go home in the afternoon in the middle of the summer. It was great. Okay, so everybody likes to go home and spend some time with their family and whatnot. So we do try to make sure that our alumni and our students are recruiting for us when they're talking to their friends and family. We've been working on developing alumni contacts. And then one of the other things that we do is we really got engaged with career fairs and college days and that feeder system of schools in the local area, trying to get out and be visible. So we're out there, we've got a table right next door to our college, we've got a table right next door to the university, but we're there recruiting for TURF. And we're just trying to continue to get visible. As a part of that, we've met teachers, which are the real, you know, and if you talk to your university recruiters, they'll talk about this. It's the guidance counselors and the teachers that they're going after. They're not going after the students. They let the guidance counselor and the teachers go after the students and say, hey, have you thought about Tennessee? It's a good program. Get a good job. So we've met those teachers now, and I'll show you a picture here in just a second that happened this morning. And so I quickly added it to my presentation. But we've been doing science field trips, hosting student groups for various things on campus that are TURF-related, but we focus it on the science piece. So our students are some of our best recruiters. This is Corey Urisic showing a couple of high school students and their teacher. We had a science field day where we were doing using the different instruments that we use to measure surface hardness, athletic field safety. We did ball roll, stint meter. We brought in kind of a physics component to that and asked them to measure it in different ways, looking at ball velocity and things like that. And we host those on a fairly regular basis. This is a 4-H career fair on campus. We had a table at it, and we're talking to students. We have a couple of little giveaways that can, you know, foam football and things like that that they can take home and just kind of keep it in mind. And again, these are set up by Scott, and so all we have to do is kind of show up. They're ready to go, and we walk in and do our thing just like any other outreach or extension event. And this was this morning. So I was invited, and Scott was invited to do a science cafe with the Knox County, which is the county that we reside in, STEM teachers in high school. So it's all the STEM faculty in the entire district. They closed school down because many schools are polling places, so they don't have school today. And so the teachers had an in-service, and I was booked, obviously, to be here with you. So Scott went and sat down and had about 50 STEM teachers throughout the Knox County area sitting down with them and, you know, just amazed. Really? You can do that? And just, again, it illustrates the idea that we're invisible, and making ourselves visible is one of the key pieces to getting some buy-in. So this is another field trip out at our research farm, again, showing them some different things. So we fast forward to fall of 2016. I just looked. I looked at my phone and looked at the number of advisees I have. We have a faculty advising model. I currently have on my list 24 advisees, and I think Dr. Sorokin has like 27 or 28. And I'm getting a few more. This last current crop, they're getting attached to me. So we just kind of go back and forth because we're doing the advising of our TURF students. Our current enrollment is now at 55. So with all of this effort, we've grown, and we're continuing to grow. We're getting 5 to 7 students a year. We'd like to get to 60 to 65. That's about where we think we can continue to effectively place students, and that provides a good distribution of freshmen to seniors in terms of teaching courses so that we have plenty of students in all of our classes. I know that I've been contacted by a few colleagues that some of you may think that we're lying about our enrollment, because we're kind of the oddball. I can assure you, based on the amount of time I spend advising those 24 students, that I'm not. But if you think we are and you don't want to attract students, that's okay. We'll just keep taking them. That's fine. And we'll keep plugging along, because we're pretty proud of what we've been doing. And I think that it's been effective, and it's also been really enjoyable to get involved and see. So I think the first thing that we need to do if you want to recruit students is to take your enrollments very seriously and get active. And that was what we did. That was the thing that I think really helped us get going, was that we got active about doing something about it ourselves, and that idea that, you know, politics are local and so is recruiting, apparently. You have to engage where the students are. You can't wish that they're working at the golf course. You have to go find them. and constantly be looking for places where you can get out and get visible. Identify somebody in the program that has to do this job, because as faculty, we don't get credit for those activities, and I think that's an important piece as well. And then be available to participate. Dr. Brosnan doesn't have a teaching appointment, but yet he shows up to all these events, just like I don't have an extension appointment, but I show up to the extension events. And so be available to participate and be passionate. And I think that's the other thing, too, is talking to students. If your faith is some, you know, the person that's out there is not excited about doing what they do, then it's going to be awfully tough to get that young student involved and get them excited about what they do. So with that, thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take any questions.